Hello, friends, and welcome back to the second hour of Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle here in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this planet a much better place. During the first hour, I interviewed a fascinating gentleman, Dr. Kyra Roca from the Bahamas. He's actually still on the line now. He's agreed to stay on because he may have some little comments to give my wonderful friends here. With me here in the studio, we have some fascinating people. We have Michiko Hayashi of the Emoto Peace Project from Tokyo here. She's lost her voice, but I hope she'll be able to find it. So she can talk a little.
I'm finding it now.
Finding it now. Good, good. Thanks to lots of cough drops and help. And then we have Josh and Adam Biggleson. And I always get them mixed up, so I'm going to make a guess. Are you Josh?
No.
No, you're, oops. Oh, well. You're Josh.
Yes.
Right, okay, Josh and Adam. Adam and Josh Biggleson.
Yes.
And they're the sons of Dr. Harvey Biggleson. Their website is www.thebigglesonmethod.com. And they're in the studio now, and they're going to give a joint interview on how our thoughts create physical reality and how we can use this to make ourselves happier and healthier. So I'm just so excited to have you all today. Also, before I forget, this Sunday, September 3rd, you're giving a fantastic free presentation, but donations will be accepted, at the Crystal Voyage Spiritual Center and Bookstore in Tacoma, beautiful Tacoma, Washington, on 38th, just down the street from the Tacoma Mall. Close to downtown Tacoma. But we'll be having, we're talking about in just a minute. Before we go on to my guests, I'd like to thank everyone's support so much for this radio program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And if you'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. I really appreciate all of your help and support, because I know together we can and will create a much better and happier world. And with that, I've got a beautiful CD that my friend Michiko brought all the way from Tokyo, and then it went to Mexico City, and then it came back from Mexico City here. It's called Singing Rain, or Tuning of the Spirit. Now, there's a lot of tracks on this, but it's very beautiful healing music. What I'd like to do is just play the first couple of minutes of two tracks. On track one is with the ocean. If we could play that, Eric, just for a minute, just to set off this hour. Isn't that beautiful music? Very meditation. I almost fell asleep here, except for the fact I've drank in 6 cups of coffee before I came to the studio, and I wouldn't be able to sleep. This second tract is also Singing Rain, and it's a very beautiful, beautiful music for meditation. I'd like to play that now, just a minute or two. Thank you. Boy, that was really nice. That would be really nice to play in packed freeway traffic.
Yes.
Just to meditate. And you could probably sit there for hours stuck in traffic and you wouldn't even know it. Just sit there and smile and you'd float off to another dimension. And by the time you came back, it'd be nightfall and you'd be able to drive home just fine. So,
nice.
So anyway, well, it's such beautiful. Now, if you're interested in ordering the CD, it's called Tuning of the Spirit. I don't have the time to give it complete justice to all of them because there's like six more tracks on that CD and another one as well. But just email my friend Michiko Hayashi. Her email address is hayashi@hado.com. That's H-A-Y-A-S-H-I at Hado, H-A-D-O.com. Hado means vibration in Japanese. And she can give you the ordering information if you're interested. But again, that's hayashi@hado.com. And with that, what I'd like to do is briefly bring on Charlie from the beautiful Krista Void Spiritual Center and Bookstore in Tacoma, where Adam and Josh and Michiko will be giving a wonderful presentation this Sunday evening. And with that, and also I'll be there tomorrow on Saturday and Sunday afternoon giving readings to people. And Charlie, welcome to Out of This World Radio.
Thanks, Ted, for having me. I appreciate this.
Oh, it's so good to have you on. I call your place not a bookstore, but more like a spiritual center because you do more than a bookstore. As soon as you walk in the door, there's this beautiful big Buddha you've got there with all this waterfall coming over it. And so instantaneously, you've got the positive, you've got the negative, they got the ions from the water coming, hitting, you're hit with this positive ions coming at you from the water. And after that, you kind of float through the store, and they've got all kinds of books and CDs and music. And then in the back, usually there's a whole bunch of readers who go, like myself, go into other dimensions. And every month you have a fantastic first-of-the-month psychic fair, and tomorrow's no exception. It's from about, if I'm not mistaken, correct me if I'm wrong, from 11 a.m. Pacific time to 6 p.m., and I'll be there, 6 or 7.
10 to 7 on Saturday.
7 to 7. I guess I wanted to say 11 because I'd like to sleep in. But anyway, 10 to 7 tomorrow and also on Sunday afternoon as well. And Michiko and Josh and Adam will also be there on Sunday. And you do have some spaces left, but you're filling up fast, aren't you?
We are filling up fast. We have about 9 spaces. We could always put a couple more besides that. But we ask that anyone give us a call if they'd like to come so they can reserve their space.
Okay. And their phone number is 253-272-4367. And you're,
got it.
Good. I just read your mind. That's how I got. No, I saw it on my computer screen, too. So I cheated. And the address is 3802 South Cedar Street in Tacoma. And to get there, it's very simple. If you're coming from Seattle, you just drive south to the Tacoma Mall area, take a right off, go west on 38th, and then go maybe 5 or 6 blocks. That's right on the left there, the corner of Cedar Street and Cedar and 38th. Yeah, Cedar and 38th.
38th.
And one thing I like about you, Charlie, and everyone there at your spiritual center is that your heart's in the right place. You don't. Yeah, and you don't do this for the money. You do this to make this planet a better place, like my show, and like Josh and Adam and, of course, Michiko here. We all do this. You know, if we wanted to go out and earn money, we'd be doing different things. But this is a labor, what they call a labor of love, you know. So, I think I've yakked enough, and I want to give you a couple of minutes, and then we'll go ahead with my guests here in the studio.
Well, we're really excited about the presentation by both Michiko and the Biggleton brothers.
Mm-hmm.
We've been excited about that and telling people about that for a few weeks now, and that's why we're pretty filled up with that. And
wonderful.
How exciting is this presentation going to be to see the interaction of the Biggleton brothers with Michiko and what she learned from Dr. Emoto?
Oh, absolutely.
Like you said earlier, there's quite a few different types of readers that are going to be here this weekend as well.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not out camping on Labor Day weekend, this is a great place to come and just hang out with some spiritually minded people.
Or if you're having a kind of a down day and you need your spirits lifted, I guarantee as soon as you step in the door of the Krista Void Spiritual Center, you'll feel better.
There you go.
Without alcohol or drugs.
Yeah.
cool.
But just a short-term fix anyway, because after the high is over with, you crash anyway. So, and feel miserable. Anyway, Charlie, thank you so much for coming on today. And we're all looking forward to seeing you this weekend and also on Sunday as well.
Likewise. I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, Charlie. Have a beautiful day.
You too. Take care. Bye.
Thanks so much. And we still have Dr. Cairo Rocha on the line from the Bahamas. He's still listening. And but I want to give and Cairo, if you're listening, you're welcome to break in later in the program if you have any questions of Josh or Adam Biggleson or Michiko as well.
But, oh, my pleasure, Ted.
Okay, good. Good. Anyway, I'd like to give you the floor now. I think I've talked long enough. So go ahead, Adam, Josh.
The floor to us?
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. So let's see. I'm pretty excited about what's about to happen as far as us lecturing with Michiko. You know, our father got to lecture with Dr. Emoto 10 years ago in Grass Valley. And it was really...
California.
Yeah, California. It was really neat because, oh, we didn't realize that Dr. Emoto had tried to do a few things with the blood initially. So when he found out about our father's work, he was really excited about it, which is really cool. So Dad and Dr. Emoto did a lecture together. Dad was kind of the opening band, and then Dr. Emoto lectured, and then they had a conversation together on stage, which was really neat. So it's awesome that 10 years later, Josh and I get to share the stage.
Oh,
we're so excited. And it's neat for us because, I mean, Dr. Emoto's ultimate goal was to show people how emotions really are affecting us. So as Michiko's doing the Peace Project and getting the message to children who are the future, awesome. It's a great place to start. And then the connection of the water is a really accessible connection. It's an easy one for people to digest. A picture's worth a thousand words. So the handoff at this presentation is going to be awesome because it'll be from water right into how this works in the body.
Right.
And emotions, emotions are not important at all, is what we've come to realize. Just wanted to see if anyone responded to that.
Well, yes, they are important. Wait a minute, you're waking me up. I'm half asleep. I'm listening to that meditation music.
Checking to see who's paying attention.
A little bit of sarcasm there.
All right.
Yeah, emotions are such a big deal. And it's for us, we've always talked about most of the time Western medicine physicians, you know, you go to your doctor and they really aren't interested in your emotions.
That's true.
I mean, if you're depressed or angry or upset.
Usually the first question they ask you is, do you have insurance? And how do you can you pay for this?
Really?
Yeah, that's the first question. Yeah.
Sad but true.
Sad but true.
Really?
Yeah.
But we know emotions affect us.
It's
huge. I mean, and it's the little things like, well, even just you can feel anger radiating off of somebody. You don't have to talk to them or anything. You can close your eyes and feel anger.
Feel it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
That's an energy.
Well, and the other aspect is joy. Joy for us is a big missing component in everyone's daily life. So one of the things that Dad and Josh would ask our clients when we had our clinics open is, if you could be anywhere in the world right now doing anything, what would it be? And for those of you listening, think about that for just a moment. The interesting thing is how many people can't really answer that question right off the bat. Ted, if you could be anywhere right now doing anything in the world, what would it be?
Right here, right now. I love doing radio work, raising consciousness, and I really wouldn't be anywhere else in the world. I am at the right place at the right time, and now we have more white light coming into the studio. That tells me that the angels are here. This place is just lit up again in beautiful white light.
Nice. I support that
answer. That's a good answer.
I support that answer. And if Michiko could be anywhere, it'd be somewhere with her voice working just wonderfully, I'm sure. Yes?
I would be really happy if I had my voice back, but if I could be anywhere doing anything, probably I would be back in Japan dancing with music and having fun.
Awesome. Yep. Awesome. And
that's
it's interesting, too, because as you listened, you played the music just a few moments ago.
Yeah.
I think people really underestimate the power of music. I mean, it's just sound and vibration and frequency. And some songs make people cry. Some people get angry with different types of music. That's an easy one. If you like music, listen to it a little bit each day to bring yourself some joy.
Nikola Tesla's famous quote. He said the same thing. Everything is sound, vibration, and frequency. And
really
Nassim Harriman said the same thing.
Yes. Yes, it's a neat thing, and it's a simple one.
Right.
I'm about to do a blog with our – we have a private membership site for our members of our private association, and the blog will talk about the simple thing of how I start my day. I have a happy playlist. First thing in the morning, there's silly songs. I actually do some children's songs and some vocal exercises I used to do when I was an elementary school music teacher. It's a great way to start the day. You want to start your day off right? Try doing the Hokey Pokey first thing in the morning.
Do you have that? You have that that track we could Eric could play now for us?
Oh, that's funny. I do not. As a matter of fact.
Oh, shucks, that's too bad. Well,
but I'll post. I'll send you some of that stuff.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
It's a simple, simple little one. And even still, too, one of the other things that Josh and our father would do is have people make a list. 10 things that bring you joy. And simple things.
I got to write that down.
Yes, definitely.
It doesn't matter if it's ice cream. You know, whatever makes you happy. Now, sometimes it's in moderation. But if you're having a down day, you can always take out your list of things you enjoy and see if there's some things on the list that you could be doing right now.
Yeah, I came to the realization a few months ago that I could be drinking a milkshake right now. I love milkshakes. I'm in traffic and I'm thinking, I could have a milkshake right now. The little things in my life.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
Because when you really start a day with something fun, that all day you're feeling really something joy.
Yes, yes.
And that really makes a big difference.
And the first part of your day is the toughest. You know, it's right when you get up in the morning when your body's telling you, nope, just go back to sleep. You don't want to do this. So put on something happy right off the bat. It's nice. It's a vibration that fills the house also, which is great. You know, some people listen with headphones, which is awesome too. But if you can put that whole vibration throughout the house, that's a great thing as well. And it can be any music that works for you. This is an interesting one because as Dr. Moto shows pictures of different music in the water, and I always look at that picture with heavy metal. It's such a gross-looking crystal, but I have to tell you how much I love heavy metal music.
Well,
and it resonates with me, and I'm a happy person, and it doesn't work for everybody, for sure.
Could you please grab the tuning fork and send some love and light to our friend here? There you go. That'll help him.
But not all of the heavy metal musics make that ugly form.
Right.
You know?
Sure.
When the words were bad and negative, or music itself was destructive.
Right.
Then the water cannot form it. But I'm sure that you are listening to something really nice, even though it's a heavy metal.
It's some happy metal.
Happy metal music. Right.
There
Absolutely.
Well, and it's interesting for us, too, as we talk about with the blood and the body, is that everyone is different. So the reality that, you know, different things resonate with different people and their vibration. So in music, there's dissonance.
Right.
And for, you know, for me, it is interesting. The heavy music that most people find very dissonant, I really enjoy. So there's something about it that just resonates with me, you know. So it's just interesting to find what works for different people. What works for you may not necessarily work for everybody.
Different strokes for different folks.
You got it.
Right. Birds of a feather flock together.
Yes.
And with emotions, even when we lecture, we talk very little about diet. And when people ask us about diet, my dad has always said, well, more important than what you put into your mouth is the attitude in which you put it into your mouth with. So if he makes you happy to eat the piece of cake, eat the piece of cake. Right. Don't do it with any guilt.
Right.
Do it in moderation. Don't eat the whole cake.
Exactly.
But yeah, more important is the attitude you do it with.
Just
feel
grateful that you can have it.
Right.
Yep.
Enjoy it.
Yep.
Well, and if you watch like a little kid, when you're going to give that little kid a cupcake or something that child loves, so happy.
Yeah.
And we can show you in the blood how beneficial that joy is. It's way more beneficial than the amount of sugar is detrimental to that child's health.
Well, and proof of that is, you know, we went through a tough couple of years. And as I was crawling out of my rabbit hole, we came up here to Seattle and had a wonderful time. And we were visiting all these food trucks and eating food that we normally wouldn't eat, having just a great time. And it was the first time in a couple of years I was really enjoying myself. So my brother and I are about the same size. We ate the same exact thing for 2 weeks. He was worried about his belt and if his pants were going to fit. And I was just enjoying myself. And I gained 1 pound in 2 weeks, and he gained 7 pounds in two weeks.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
And we literally did eat the same things every day.
Ah, but were you listening to heavy metal music every day?
We both listened to the same music.
Okay. Well, it could be a factor. So I'm just saying.
My jeans fit just fine. I don't want to have to buy new jeans.
Right.
So that was there. So it was a little bit of guilt, and it was funny. Josh gained 1 pound. I gained seven.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to ask you, Josh, you did a blood test on me some months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, I was fatigued and tired. And what was interesting is that I had a couple of psychic friends tell me, Ted, you need to take some time off or your body's going to take it off for you. And then this summer, I got really sick, and I did get time off, but not the way I wanted to.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, and then Michiko picked it up, and then you know, anyway, so anyway, it spread around. But I know that you did some, you took some blood samples from me, and then you looked under a microscope. But that's how does that work exactly? I mean, you saw things in the blood, mm-hmm. which I thought were just fascinating. For example, some of the platelets of the blood cells. If you're fatigued, the platelets were not round and healthy. They were kind of jagged-edged.
Oh, that's the old red blood cells. So you can actually look at the edges of the blood and see how the blood is dying. And we can die of arthritis, which is just natural causes.
Mm-hmm.
We can die of cancer, or we can die of a circulatory disease. So we can monitor the way the blood's dying and see which direction you're going towards.
Oh, really?
So if they're a little spiky, which is what we saw with Hugh, is more arthritic, which is what you want, but it means we got to get the body loosened up a little bit.
I see. Yeah, I remember that. And then you also saw a tube curved in the blood, mm-hmm. which indicative of a need to stand up straighter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see lots of holograms in the blood. So most Eastern culture talks about holograms in the eye, the ear, the tongue, and the foot. So we see one in the blood as well. So what we'll see in there is the body is showing you what it wants taken care of.
Interesting.
So we'll see a spinal cord there sometimes, and sometimes it's a physical shot where the spinal cord needs some manipulation,
right.
And sometimes it's an emotional shot.
I see.
If we're fatigued, you'll see that the spinal cord has collapsed.
That's what you saw, mm-hmm. a bit of collapse from being fatigued.
Yeah.
Then also, too, you saw this interesting little blob mm-hmm. floating around, and I said, what's that? He said, you said it was from an old childhood's emotional scar.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, yeah, there is some stuff back there. Absolutely.
We see lots of emotions in the blood.
Okay.
We'll see whether it's a recent emotion, whether you were afraid that I was going to look at your blood. Maybe I stepped on your foot when you came in.
True.
We'll see old emotions in there also. Whether it's 10 years old or 30 years old, I really can't tell.
Well,
There'll be different colorings in there, which uh-huh. will actually show some of what the emotion was, whether mm-hmm. it was anger, maybe some grief, mm-hmm. That sort of thing. So, yeah, the emotions show up in the blood very distinctly. And the emotions set us up for either our path to wellness or our path to disease.
Now, this is something that, Michiko, you've been working on, and I don't want to stress your voice out too much, but you were talking earlier off air about how the emotions, when you're in the womb, also affect your life for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
It's the moment of conception. The baby has the consciousness. So it's really important because many mothers don't even realize or they don't even know that the mother's emotion affect the baby in the womb.
Big time.
It's the yes. most important time.
Yeah, it's really interesting because as our family is Jewish, in the Jewish religion, we speak to our rabbi quite a bit when we were younger. And we're not extremely religious, but it gave us an interesting foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because in the Jewish religion, the Orthodox, the men and women were separate as far as temple was concerned. And I asked the rabbi once, because, of course, I want to see all the Jewish girls, you know. he said, it's separated. The men are here to do the praying, and the women, you know, they can do that as well. But the men have all these jobs. The men are supposed to do everything, more or less.
Hmm.
And it was kind of interesting. It's like, well, why is that? He said, the men can't do the one thing women can do, the best thing. This is bringing new life into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he said it was the man's job to make the world as comfortable as possible
for
the woman to bring in new life
wow,
in the
beautiful.
Best possible situation.
Yeah.
And I think that's just awesome. Children are the future, and a lot of them are just set off center from before the time they were born.
We see a lot in the blood that comes from birth traumas.
Ah.
You know, whether it was the parents' emotions going on.
Yeah,
we had a higher profile client years ago whose son had autism.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened is... he had married his high school sweetheart, and he'd wrote a script that became a movie, and overnight he became a huge star. So during the 7th month of pregnancy, he's out philandering, basically.
Oh.
And the wife would stand by the door with her arms crossed.
Waiting.
And when the kid was born, every time this man would come into the room, the kid would start screaming his head off.
Oh, wow.
So, yes, the emotion.
Oh, because the child carried the message of memories of abandonment and anger.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. And felt the vibration of
the mother.
Felt the vibration of the father coming in. And that was the vibration he knew was not something that was good.
Wow.
Emotions are huge. And it's
it is.
And there's one thing I'll say real quick is we've done our microscope work. There's something called live blood analysis that has some similar images, but mm-hmm. our philosophies and theories differ greatly. We're really a big picture kind of experience here. And that's why we're going to be working with am presenting with Michiko here. Emotions, we see them in the blood, and they are huge. And for us, structure is the body. The structural aspect of the body is the supportive framework for your energetic flow. So emotions, if you're upset, you get tense, and that affects your structure.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
And then as time goes on, your structure reinforces mm-hmm. that.
Right.
So it's a vicious cycle.
It's a vicious cycle,
emotions
right.
Emotions are huge.
Yeah,
huge,
they are.
Huge.
They're key.
Well, and it's funny. I ask people, too. It's you know, what makes you happy, things like that. When was the last time you got a compliment? And adults are like, I don't know. And then I have to ask, when was the last time you gave a compliment? Yeah, a simple, easy thing. And it's funny because I'll do this in the strangest of situations, in the grocery store and the kids screaming and you're waiting in line, and I'll turn around and just say, oh, nice shirt, nice shoes. And it's just neat to watch people's reaction change. People are so wrapped up in their lives and stuck in their head, and you stop, you bring them present into the moment, and you give them a little teeny bit of joy, and it's like a shock to the yeah. system almost. So there's more homework for listeners. Give some compliments.
Right.
Right? Well, random acts of kindness are wonderful.
That's good, because I see so many parents treating their own children with their anger these days. They yes. would say, do this, don't do this, hurry up and do that. But it's really not good, because they're really trying to control the children.
Yes.
Well,
with, you know.
I want to make this comment to conserve your voice energy, Michiko. But Dr. Emoto did a series of photographs. I want to bring on Dr. Rocha here in about a minute after I say this. But if somebody says, do it, yes. it turns out to be a very negative water crystal.
Right. Correct.
But if you said, please do it, or could
or
you?
Let's do it. Let's,
or
do,
let's
it.
Do it. That's better. It turns into a beautiful water crystal, because so, one's ordering and one is one is saying in a negative way and one is saying in a positive way.
Right. And also being kind.
And being kind. And respectful. Other. Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a big deal, those little semantics.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that, I'd like to bring my good friend in, Dr. Cairo Rocha from the Bahamas. Cairo, are you there?
Hi there. I'm very excited listening to Josh and Adam. I'm very excited to read what they're saying. It's fascinating.
Well, you'll be able to meet them in person at my Galactic Wisdom Conference, and
oh,
I hope
fabulous.
Those guys can come.
Oh, we may have to go fishing in the Bahamas sometime before that.
That sounds
even
better.
Yeah.
You got it.
But I find fascinating not only the what you said about the holograms in the blood. It's a fascinating concept, and also the emotions as well. It's not my choice, but from the very beginning of my practice as an acupuncturist, I've been always dealing with emotions.
Yeah.
Either obvious when somebody comes to you, or hidden behind a headache or a migraine headache or something like that. And I might say that, I don't know what happened, but my very first patient, a very first patient I ever had, came to me. She was having this pain in her thigh, right in the middle of her thigh, and she had gone to all kinds of CAT scans, dog scans, elephant scans, everything. He couldn't find anything, and yet the pain was there. Mm-hmm. So there I was with my needles, my Japanese, I start applying needles to the point where I was coming from. But the moment I touched the area where the pain was coming from, this lady started crying.
Ooh.
First was very gentle, but then was crying. And I was crying inside. I said, my goodness, I hurt my first patient, so I'm not going too far in my profession. So I quickly removed the needles and let her go home. And I was terrified. Mm. So the following day, to my surprise and amazement, this lady came back, and luckily she wasn't crying anymore. Actually, she had a smile. And I said, what happened to you? She said, on that very night, I mean last night, I had this dream that I was on this black ship, on a ship, and I was being whipped on this, exactly on this spot. And with that, it was this amazing, lots of anger or helplessness and fear together.
Mm.
And the moment I woke up this morning, all the emotions are gone and the pain disappeared.
Beautiful.
Neat.
So to me, I wasn't prepared for that, because mm-hmm. at that point, I was only looking for energetic issues, physical something like that.
Right.
And I realized that emotions, as Josh and Adam are saying, that they're energy. They are trapped inside, mm-hmm. and they can manifest. The body finds a way through a pain, discomfort, or something to let us know that this energy is stagnated, is still there.
The emotion will get physically locked into the body. So part of releasing that emotion is to physically open up, which is why people have such great reactions with body work or acupuncture, that sort of thing, because you actually have to get in there to physically open the body up so it can then release that emotion.
And this is why a lot of people, as they get a massage, all of a sudden they get emotional on the massage table.
And we
talk to people a lot. We tell them, you know, it's as the emotion can get locked in physically. You know, you can go to the therapist for years and keep talking about the emotion, but unless you get the body work to physically get at the emotion, it's not going to release.
Yes, it's going to be staying there. It's like a pinball machine for those who already remember this.
Yep.
Ping, 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 ping.
Yes.
You know, affecting so many ways. Absolutely.
The body does want to release it somehow. And the way we're very aligned with Chinese medicine philosophy. So as we look at blood, if we see a lung, for example, as a hologram in the blood, it could be a lung issue or it could be a grief or sadness issue. So the emotions that are associated with the different organs.
Yeah, we'll see emotions actually sitting on different organs. So unfortunately, we've seen a lot of emotions sitting on the sacrum or the coccyx or uterus in the past. And you know there might be some sort of abuse in the past. So where the emotion sits in the blood tells us a lot about the event that happened.
This is fascinating.
It's really cool, too. You'll see the organs in the blood, and sometimes they're just totally unmistakable. They'll match anatomy books and things like that. At the same time, the emotions, as they get released, you're peeling back onion layers. Mm-hmm. And we eat our emotions.
Right.
You know, we just put them deep inside, and, eventually they'll build up or something happens, and they'll come out.
If you have a childhood trauma, it's so shocking to your system, you'll bury it in your subconscious, and it may not come out 40 or 50 years later.
Right.
And then only under perhaps hypnosis.
Yes.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And once you bring it out, look at it, then you can take care of it, and it explains a lot of behaviors in the past.
Right, right.
Well, yes.
We talked about the birth traumas, just the emotions going on intrauterine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've seen a lot in the past with scars and injuries where those injuries or the scars are holding in that emotion.
Really?
So there's one scar that we all have, and that's our belly button.
Yep.
Ah.
And that's where we hold our birth trauma.
Interesting.
So when we had our clinic, we would work on the belly button. It was always the first thing we would work on because that actually got the person breathing again, breathing properly.
Uh-huh.
And then it actually released some of that birth trauma for them as well.
Amazing. That's amazing.
And we also talk about there's roots of the tree or the leaves of the tree. Leaves are your symptoms. Mm-hmm. Roots are the things that are important. Oxygen is huge to the body.
Mm-hmm.
So you're born, and the first thing that happens is they cut that umbilical cord nice and close, so you have a pretty little inny belly button.
Right.
And now, for the rest of your life, you're not going to get a full breath.
And the reason behind that is that ligament, the umbilical cord, turns into a ligament, and it actually is attached to the roof of your diaphragm and to your pubic symphysis.
Yes.
So when they pull out the cord and cut it too close, it actually pulls your diaphragm down onto your liver, and it actually tilts your pelvis up.
Wow.
So it's part of the reason we lose our height as we get older is we withdraw into our actual birth scar.
Oh, wow.
So the more we can loosen that up, the more we stay upright through life. And that's why midwives are so great, is they'll leave 3 or 4 inches on the umbilical cord, and after a week it just naturally falls off, and those kids breathe wonderfully.
Well, that's wonderful. Yes. Wow.
It's excellent,
And that's a big deal. It's neat. We had a friend of ours work in our clinic for a while, and when his child was born, he knew, and he did some great stuff, and they had a friend whose child was born around the same time, and watching these two children grow up together and the huge differences.
Oh, wow.
My friend's child that kid is smart. Mm-hmm. He is sharp. And it's just the language development and things like
Crystal
that.
Crystal Indigo child.
He's
from somewhere else, probably.
He had a little bit of the right stuff going on right at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the belly button's big, and sometimes we'll do a teeny bit of cranial sacral osteopathic manipulation just after the person's born, and even for the mother. They won't have so much of the depression that goes on, which affects the child as well.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we used to do a lot of, it was called neural therapy, so we would actually inject remedies into the belly button to regenerate the scar.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nice little tricks you can do if you don't have that access, is some people will take a marble or a crystal and put it in their belly button, and the muscles contract around it and help release the diaphragm.
Really?
So it's very, very grounding for you.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Wow.
Fabulous,
And it's the little things. And for us, our big picture was also don't just take our word for it. Try some of these things. So, you know, go get some joy each day. 10 minutes of joy each day for about a week. Notice how your life starts to change. Start your day off right, some happy music. I like to think at the end of the day, too, some nice relaxing music is good. But I'm also a musician, so it's all about music for me. You could read a book. You could take a walk. Joy. Something to relax.
Would you recommend heavy metal for most people?
For those that like it, definitely. If it relaxes you,
that's a good answer. Yeah, that's a good answer. Absolutely. Absolutely. How funny.
Yeah, it's and was recently actually the first concert Josh and I went to, and we looked at blood before and afterwards. And it was a heavy metal concert, and afterwards, my blood looked more relaxed. Yes, I was more relaxed. I was happier, definitely. Had we taken you, Ted, to that concert, your blood probably would have looked a little different.
Probably. Well, I've got tinnitus in my right ear, so if it go to a concert,
it wouldn't have helped.
No, I don't think so. No. No. Well, both of you, all three of you do fascinating work, and nobody else does it in the world. I mean, you're very unique in what you do.
It's really interesting. Yeah. You know, for us, we've crossed paths with a lot of people, you know, that are interested. It seems like most people are they're just stuck in their thing. You know, so for us, it's initially we tried to approach scientists and, you know, medical professionals, but they're busy. So at this point, we're just ready to share our knowledge with the people that need it the most. Everyday people.
And I don't think any of these concepts any of us are talking about are new.
No.
These are all old, wonderful concepts that have just been pushed aside.
Your grandma knew all this stuff. You know, when your stomach is tied in knots because you're anxious and
upset,
that we'll show it to you in the blood. It looks like your intestines are in knots.
Really? Fascinating.
Oh, yeah.
That's fascinating.
Definitely. I mean, the little things in life. Chicken soup with a little bit of love. That's a good remedy.
Oh, wow. Wow.
You can get the chicken soup from your doctor. Does he put a little love in there or not? Good question.
Of course, if your grandma does it, then it's practicing medicine without a license.
That's right. But if the doctor asks you, if you go see a doctor and the first question they ask you, do you have insurance or do you have ability to pay? That really makes you feel good.
We have one local doctor by us who would allow the patient three questions. He would allow only three questions.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
because how dare you question the expert? He told you, and you don't take his word for it. You're questioning him as an expert. Yeah. Yeah, it's an interesting one. But the nice thing these days is people are trying to educate themselves. There's a lot of talk about misinformation. So people are looking for information that makes sense. And the nice thing is what we talk about makes perfect sense. It's not rocket science, and it's very effective. And most of it's easy to prove. Which is really nice. We've got a friend of ours in Poland right now who's helping us build some new microscopes. And he was so excited. He was here with us a few weeks back for about 3 weeks, and he's going to be coming back to town, which is great. So he's back in UK right now with microscopes and dying to get here and do stuff with us. And in the meantime, he's doing stuff. So as he's looking at more of Emoto's work, he just the other day put some orchids in a bowl of water, and he looked at just some water under the microscope, and then he's looking at water that the orchids were in, and he's seeing images in the water. Yeah, symmetry that looks very similar to symmetry in the orchids.
Oh, how beautiful. What a beautiful
thing. And he's going to start doing other flowers now, too. You know, why not test all this stuff?
Sure.
And the nice thing for us is the blood is a real-time monitor. So we can look at your blood and see what's going on, and then there's treatment therapy that's administered. We can look at your blood immediately afterwards and see the effect. And the emotions are hilarious. We had one client that Josh had worked with. Her appointment was done, and they were just chatting and happened to talk about Obamacare. And, she got upset about that.
What happened to her blood?
We did another drop of blood pretty quickly. And I think we show that picture in our lecture.
Yes, we do. Obamacare in the blood. It was very red and inflamed, just like she was.
Lots of anger that was coming to the surface.
Interesting.
Yes, and it was really, it's neat. She just had a conversation. That image was not
in
her blood.
That's all you needed.
Well, it was not in her blood a few minutes before that. So it was just talking that all of a sudden changed her vibration.
You got it.
So I think the best thing we can do is empower ourselves. Josh and I try to educate people as far as how the body works, and that there's always hope.
I think it's all about education, because most of the people don't know how our emotions affect our physical body. And we just have to keep educating people, spreading the word, and in the future or even starting now, I think people are trying to prevent from becoming diseases.
Yes.
After becoming diseases, it's too late.
Yes, yes.
Before the, even before.
Right.
So we learned how to live healthy life.
And that's right. our goal right now with Josh and I. When Josh worked with our father in the clinic, we were treating the worst of the worst. People mm-hmm. that had been everywhere around the world and nothing's helped. They're out of money. They're about to die.
Oh, my God.
So, and most of the time, we improved quality of life. We
that's
did really
beautiful.
Awesome with it,
yeah.
actually.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So at this point, though, we want to educate and empower people to take charge of their own health care so we never have to see them at that stage.
Exactly. Right.
To prevent disease, we have to create health.
Right, right. An ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
Yes, yes,
absolutely.
Yes. And, you know, I mean, it's you need to hold yourself accountable.
Mm-hmm. Right.
As we look at disease and illness, most of it is actually created by us.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's our fault. So we're a part of the problem. We need to be a part of the solution.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Sure.
And the interesting thing with even anger and emotions, Josh, tell me about the doctor that would do the pH meter.
Oh, it was a doctor in Germany who would insert pH meters into people's veins. They'd come in and say, well, I don't know, Ted, things aren't looking very good. And the pH would spike.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yeah. And if he came in and said, things are looking pretty great, everything would balance out.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Amazing.
So it's all about pHs these days, but why is the pH off?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's
sure.
not always about the diet. It's, you know, why are you holding on to stress? Why is the body not functioning properly?
And also, medical doctors' words are really, really powerful to patients.
I'll give you an example.
It's fear-based.
With our friend Orion, he was my cameraman at my last couple of conferences. Great, wonderful man. From Oregon, Bend, Oregon. And he was diagnosed with stage 4 throat cancer, I don't know, 5-6 months ago now. And he went to see a doctor, and the doctor said, well, you don't have much time. You're not going to make it, and good luck. You can try chemotherapy and surgery, but, you know, it doesn't look good.
Very compassionate.
Very compassionate, mm-hmm. yeah. Well, those kind of words. And so then he thought to himself, well, this is a bunch of nonsense.
Good for him.
And I've been asking people on my show to send lots of love and light to Orion for these months. Plus, there are some herbal remedies that he found. And you know what? The tumor's almost gone now.
Nice. Yep.
Some of it's fallen out. It's almost gone. His doctors now say that he's a miracle.
Sure.
And he's made a full recovery. They're happy for him.
Yeah.
And they're supporting him now because they don't think he's going to die. He's made it.
Sure.
So
now they'll support him.
But the thing is that if you're out there and a doctor has told you something about an illness, I guess take it with a grain of sand.
Yeah.
And know that, and I'm sure the doctors has got your best interest in mind, but many doctors unfortunately don't realize the spiritual power of their words and how they can affect you in a negative way, even when they're well meaning.
Yep. Oh yes.
Oh, the amount of times they tell people 3 to 6 months to live and that's what they get.
And then they die.
Well, I had
your friend with the.
Yeah, I had a friend. Well, and Dad would always say, if people would ask, he'd say, "That's between you and God." He'll never tell anyone that.
Sure.
I had a friend whose mother got a brain cancer. It was not good. She had a month or something to live. They said it's November. You'll be dead by December.
But oh my!
It affected her brain so much that she thought it was November for over a year. So she lived for over a year, even though they said you'll be dead next month. One day she realized. It was December, so she passed away.
Oh, she December last year, and then
yeah,
she said,
basically they said she had a month.
Well,
and she said,
yeah,
it was my father, my own father, who found out, just happened to find out that he had a cancer, lung cancer. It was a regular checkup, and then his doctor said, "Well, there's something that it's in your lung," so he had to go to a different medical doctor, and at that time. They found out that he had the 4th stage cancer. Mm. Until the day he was told that he had a cancer, he was fine.
Sure.
I mean, working outside, doing everything he wanted to.
Sure.
The moment he was told that he had this cancer, that he had to go through the operation and everything. So, at that time, he was 81 years old. So he asked his medical doctor, he said, what is the percentage if I don't go through the operation? Chemotherapy and all that. And the doctor said, well, if you're not going to do anything, you're not going to come see me. I won't do anything. And he said, well, am I that bad? He said, the doctor said, yeah.
Right.
So he became really sick starting that day.
Oh, yeah.
So he didn't live any longer than 6 months.
Oh, yeah.
He died.
The power of suggestion is a big thing.
It's really strong.
Well, and for us, you know, when he used to have a cancer clinic in Mexico a bunch of years ago, and he did great, great work with cancer there. He looks at it as a mold.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, if you cut mold out of the cream cheese, it's still bad cream cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden it's going to show up everywhere. Somehow you have to rejuvenate the cream cheese. And stress affects pH.
Exactly.
You look at your fish tank and the pH is off and bad stuff grows. So it's about keeping yourself balanced. And these days, stress, everyone's worried about cancer. 1 in 3, they say, are going to get it. Well, most people are eating horrible food and watching the horrible news.
And worrying about getting cancer.
Yes. And
right, exactly. It's all very stress.
You got it.
Well, and when he had the clinic, he'd have clients come out for a month. And he would stagger them. So some people were there in week 1, week 2, week 3, and week 4. So the week 1 people would come in really afraid, and the week 2, 3, and 4 people would carry them, would pick them up because they could see the results of it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So just getting to talk to the people who are having the positive reaction really helped those people.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
It doesn't pay to worry about cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't help at all.
Isn't worry praying for the worst? It's
fear-based prayer. I've got a saying that my mom wrote to me when I was younger that, worry is a wish for things you don't want.
Yeah, wonder.
And that's always in my wallet.
Yeah.
I have to ask my friend Cairo. Cairo, we're not forgetting about you. I hope you're still there.
No, I'm here. I'm here. I'm listening to my both ears. What I see a lot, everything you said makes so much sense. What I see a lot in my practice here in Aso, it's disempowerment. Whether it's self-imposed or basically whether you have a headache or a cancer or something, there's almost an element of disempowerment.
Right.
Because I keep telling people, if you give away your power to a doctor or to a priest or to a spouse, with what power do you want to heal yourself?
Right.
So the very first thing I do, regardless of the problem, and to guide the person. So the idea is to be a facilitator.
Yes.
To try to find a power that you left somewhere and bring it back or retrieve it because that's what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the moment people feel empowered, it's a totally different story.
Oh, yes.
Yeah?
Right. Yes, it
totally
is.
Different story.
It is.
And I'm so sorry when I hear people saying what the doctor said, we have on X number of months to live or something.
Mm.
What service are you doing? What are you doing to the patient?
That's
Right. And these days, there was a point in time where we were really upset with doctors. It's not doctors. You know, they go to be educated in a system that's just not as effective as it should be, and historically that's just the way they've been trained.
Right.
Trauma surgeons have been great and things like that, but we for a long time we were upset with doctors.
Sure. I think many people are.
Yeah. I mean, you want to trust your doctor. Josh talked about recently the days when doctors used to do house calls.
Right.
And how, they would come to your home. Part of it was so they would know you.
Right.
To get to know you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And when we had the clinics open, people were shocked at how much time our father would spend with them.
Because
everyone is different. And, in his last book, The Doctors Are More Harmful Than Germs book, he had 96 cases of Lyme disease with 96 different causes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So, and it's funny, his hero was Sherlock Holmes, so he considers himself a medical detective. So someone comes to him with something he's never seen, or it's a puzzle, and he's excited and interested, but he has to talk to you. We can't just look at your blood and say, here's what it is.
Right.
You are important, and you are unique.
Yeah.
I have to tell you this little story.
Beautiful.
It's a little interesting story. As a psychic, I've talked to spirits on the other side who had serious physical problems in this side of the veil, in the third dimension. And then they pass on, and they go to a spiritual hospital to heal the spiritual causes for their physical problems, which they just experienced in the third dimension. And I heard this story from our other producer, Harmony, who was filling in for Eric here a couple of weeks ago. I just remember this story, and I meant to tell you, Michiko, about it, because it was on when you were on the program a couple months ago. She said that the phone kept ringing here in the studio. It lit up there were three lines all lit up at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the same spirit saying, help me, help me, help me.
Wow.
And it was on when you were on, when you, Michiko, were on.
Really?
Yeah, so when you do your love and gratitude, we'll include that spirit in our prayers to help them.
Oh,
because a lot of these things carry on to the next life,
right.
To the spirit world, and then the next life too.
Definitely,
yeah. Emotion is the one that we carry on.
Right,
our consciousness is the only thing that we carry on.
Right, which body, carries on to the next
that's
one.
That's ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I'm so excited, Cairo, because you'll be able to meet Adam and Josh Bickelson in Michigo, too, next
March.
Oh, wonderful.
March.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. We're going to do a whole blog, actually, on Josh's blood before and after he gets to go fish with you in the Bahamas. You want to see joy in the blood.
Something like that.
Yeah, you want to see some joy in the blood.
Hey, Cairo, you have to answer this question. How far is the white sandy beach from your place?
You mean the pink sandy beach?
Pink sandy beach, yeah.
The pink. It's about 25-minute flight.
Oh.
Or it's a small plane. Or you have about 2 hours. There is a boat, a catamaran.
Uh-huh.
That goes to this place. It's called Harbor Island.
Beautiful.
Harbor Island.
Beautiful.
Harbor Island.
Beautiful.
It's beautiful. And you look at the sand. You pick up the sand. You cannot believe that it's pink, but it is.
It's
beautiful.
If you go there between now and next March, would you mind bringing some back? I'll be happy to pay some expenses if you want.
Oh, and then we'll put it in some water, and we'll look at the water under our microscope.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so good. That would be so good.
There are many things we can do.
Oh, we're so excited to start playing.
Experiment.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'll tell you this, too, Dr. Rocha. Josh and I love to travel, so we're lecturing all across the world these days. Love to get to the Bahamas. So
they get a lot of snow there.
Oh, perfect.
So it's very cold, and so I don't know if you like the weather or not. You know, the oceans, I don't know.
We've been to the Bahamas. It's a great place.
Yes.
Okay. It's basically what people tend to avoid is from June to November is the hurricane season.
Hurricane season.
Yeah.
Wow. But other than that, it's pretty – although we don't have hurricanes here very often. It's just the season.
Well, there's actually a wonderful little pub in Marsh Harbor, and the people,
Little Harbor.
Yeah, Little Harbor, yeah. And one of the guys that lives there actually was responsible for helping my father get his very first microscope.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, wow.
That's wonderful.
So it would be a full circle, you know, for us that way.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And, you know, as we're getting ready to close.
We got 2 minutes left.
The one last thing I want to say with all this is, and with Michiko, we need to give people homework. People need to make that list. What brings you joy?
Right.
10 things, and then start checking things off that list. 10 minutes of joy every day.
Every day.
So when we do our presentation, we're going to do something joyful during that presentation.
Okay.
That'll be so cool. That'll be at the Crystal Void Spiritual Center and Bookstore at 3802 South Cedar Street, just off 38th in Tacoma. It's only about 25 minutes or 30 minutes, as long as there's no traffic from Seattle. But it's going to be a free presentation with donations requested for the Emoto Peace Project. We now have about, I was going to say an hour and 15, and we have about a minute and 15 seconds left. And I'd like to hand the floor to Michiko.
Well, thank you. As my voice is not really being so well today. But thank you so much. It's been really wonderful. And I'm looking forward to having the joint event with you, Adam, and Josh.
This is
going to be awesome.
Going to be awesome.
Looking forward to it.
And I look forward to having a lot of people there on Sunday. In Cairo, one day we're going to do it together, too.
For sure. It would be a pleasure, Michiko.
Yeah, please come to Japan, too, again.
I think we should all go to Bahamas and do the presentation there.
Yes, that's a wonderful idea. I could broadcast my show from there, so that would be great.
It'll be the top of the pops.
Yes, awesome.
Well, Adam, Josh, Michiko, Cairo, thank you so much for coming on today. 1 week from today, I'll be broadcasting live from Mount Shasta in beautiful California, and we'll be having, I think, about 5 or 6 psychics with me during that show, so it's going to be very, very special. We got some really incredible people for that show, so please don't miss that. And thank you again, Adam, Josh, and Michiko, and Eric, of course, my wonderful producer, for helping me produce this show. And Cairo, thank you so much for coming on the air today with us. You're all wonderful people. Thank you so much. Have a beautiful weekend, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.